The shiur tonight is dedicated to Yom Yerushalayim. That's number one. Yet Hashem, tomorrow night is Yom Yerushalayim. We're going to talk about Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, the greatest city of the world, the city in which we live. Number two, the shiur is dedicated to the memory of David Reuven Baim Hashem Yinkom Damo, the tragedy that came to Harnof, a tragedy of Klal Yisrael, and here it is, it's Harnof, terrible tragedy. We dedicate the shiur to his memory. Number three, I'm also dedicating the shiur for Refuah Shleima for my mother-in-law, who is not well, Sarah Esther Perel Bas Chaya Leva. She should have a Refuah Shleima. Yerushalayim. The name Yerushalayim appears in Tanakh 667 times. 667 times. There were all sorts of Sfarim, 654, 652. Trust me, it's 667. Of the 667 times that Yerushalayim appears in Tanakh, 641 are in Hebrew, and 26 times the name appears in Aramaic. You got it? 667 times total, 641 times it is in Hebrew, 26 it is in Aramaic. Of the 641 that are in Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh, in Tanakh, 636. Yerushalayim is spelled without a yud between the lamed and the mem. It is spelled Yerushalem, and it is read Yerushalayim. There are five psukim in Tanakh where there's a second yud in Yerushalayim. Lamed, yud, mem. I haven't figured out why those psukim were chosen, but the fact is, five psukim, one of them is a pasuk that you are all familiar with, Ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan Habira U'Shmo Mordechai Ben Yor Ben Shimi Ben Kish Ish Yemini Asher Hegla Mirushalayim. The one who went into exile from Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim there is spelled Malay, complete, Lamed Yud, Lamed Yud Mem. Maybe just it may be of passing interest to know that Yerushalayim doesn't appear once in the Quran. That's it. Doesn't appear once in the Quran. Yerushalayim is the city that Barbara Tuchman says more blood has been spilled over this city than any other city on the face of this earth. The city has changed hands more time than any other city has changed hands on the face of this earth. At last count, it changed hands 86 times. 86 times. Only for a period of about 19 years, the city was divided. For 29 years now, it has been united, and God forbid, it may be the first time in the history of the city of Yerushalayim that it will be lost, not on the field of battle, but at the negotiating table, and being given away by Jews, Rachman and its sons, the Eibishter Api. Okay. Yerushalayim. Let's deal with the name first and foremost and see what is the significance and the importance of the name. I think everybody should be aware of the famous Medrash. Famous Medrash. The Medrash says, where did the city get its name? Says the Medrash. And this is based on the fact that Yerushalayim appears in Torah in Torah, in some revealed form, Yerushalayim appears twice, in Parshas Lech Lecha and in Parshas Vayera. Malkitzedek, Melech Shalem, goes out to Avram Avinu when Avram Avinu returns victorious from his great struggle with the four kings. So it says, Malkitzedek, the king of Shalem, goes out to greet him. And Targum Onkelos says, Malka de Yerushalayim, the king of Yerushalayim. Who is Malkitzedek? Malkitzedek is Shem, the son of Noah. He is the one that comes out to greet Avram, and he says to Avram, Baruch Avram, blessed is Avram, the Keilelion, Hashem, Migein Tzarecho B'yodecho, God that gave over your oppressors into your hand. The second time that Yerushalayim appears is in the next Sedra by the Akedah. Avram comes to Har HaMoriah, and it says, after the Akedah, when the Rebbe Shem says, Al Tishlach Yadcha L'Anah, don't stretch out your hand against the child, don't do anything to him. So it says, Vayikra Avram Shem HaMokom Hahu, Avram called the name of that place, Hashem Yir'eh. Hashem Yir'eh, Asher Ye'omer Hayom Bahar Hashem Ye'ra'eh, that God should be seen, that God should see, that God should be feared, all sorts of meanings. He called the name Yir'eh, that's what he called that place. The famous Medrash says the following, Avram called the name of that place Yir'eh. As it says by Yikra Avram, Shem Amokam Ahu Hashem Yireh. Shem Koral, so Shem called the name of the place, Shalem, as it says, Umalki Tzedek Melech Shalem, says the Medrash, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a dilemma. And the Rebbe Shem said, Im Korei Ani Oto Yireh, if I'm going to call the city by the name Yireh, Kishem Shekoral to Avraham, the name that was given to it by Avram, Shem, Adam Tzadik, Shem, who is a righteous man, Yitraim, is going to be upset. V'im Korei Aniota Shalem, if I'm going to call the city Shalem, as Shem called it, Avram, Adam Tzadik, Mitraim, Avram, who is a righteous man, is going to be upset. Elo Korei Aniosa, you know what I'm going to call that city? Yerushalayim. Kemosha Kodushnehem, the way both of them called the city. I'm going to make a composite of the two names, Yir'eh Shalem Yerushalayim. The most significant part of this medrash is, of course, the fact that this is the one location upon the face of this earth that God gave it its name. He didn't call Moscow or London or Washington their names, but this city was given its name by the Rebbe Nishlam himself. And we have a number of problems with the name. Problem number one is the problem of the spelling. The problem of the spelling. We read it Yerushalayim, but it is written without a yud between the lamed and the mem. And the one who deals with that problem is a Tosfos in Masechet Tainis, Daf Tes Zayin, Amud Aleph. Says Tosfos the following. The Gemara there is talking about Har HaMoriah. Where does the name Har HaMoriah come? So the Gemara says, Har HaMoriah, either one opinion says, Har sheyotzo mimenu horo ol Yisrael, the mountain from which teaching and guidance and direction, hora'ah, Torah, came out to the Jewish people. V'chadama, the mountain sheyotzo mimenu mora la'ovdei kechavim, the fear of God in idolaters comes from that mountain. Tosfos over here says that the Har HaMoriah, that's Yerushalayim. Shenikra al Shem Avraham. Tosfos says this is the city that was called by the name that Avraham gives it, and the city had already been called Shalem before Avraham ever got there to call it Yireh. It had already been called Shalem. V'nikra Yerushalayim, and it's called Yerushalayim al shem Yireh al shem Shalom. Lakach ein anu neisnin yud be Yerushalayim, says Tosis, therefore we don't put a yud in Yerushalayim between the Lamed and the Mem, al shem Shalem, because the name that Shem ben Noach gave it was Shalem. So we have then we have another problem. But Avram called it Yireh. Why didn't God call it Yireh Shalem? Right? If God is so concerned about that the name should be precisely as Malki Tzedek gave it, Shem Benah, and therefore it's written Shalem. So number one, we have a problem. Why is the first part of the name Yiru and not Yireh? And second, so why read it Yerushalayim? Why shouldn't we read it Yerushalem? Jerusalem. Why do we read it Yerushalayim? I have another problem that I haven't seen any of them before I shouldn't deal with, and I hope during the course of this year to answer this question. Who gave the name first? Malki Tzedek called Salem Shalem before Avraham ever got there. So why isn't the Rebbeinu Shem concerned that if he's going to call it Yerushalayim and he's going to give precedence to Avraham's name, Shem Adam Tzadik, Shem is going to be upset? Wait a minute, I gave the city the name Shalem first. Why shouldn't the city be called Shlem Yireh or Shlem Yeru? And if it sounds funny to you, give me 10 minutes and I'll have you saying Shlem Yeru Ir HaKodesh Tibon HaVizikonah Shlem Yeru. You can do it. But that's not what the Rebbeinu Shem chose to do. The Rebbeinu Shem chose to call the name of the city Yerushalayim. He gives precedence to the name given to it by Avraham. And I think that that's going to be extremely important. I'm asking, why is it so? Why do we read it? So now, why does God leave the spelling of the second half of the name precisely the way Shem gave it, but he doesn't seem to be so concerned about the name that was given by Avraham? He changes it from Yireh to Yeru. So one of the Mefarshim Yerushalmi says, listen, the Mefarshim, all he did was he took an Aleph Hey, Yireh, and he turned it into a Vav. What's the gematria of Aleph Hey? Aleph and Hey, 1 and 5 is 6. A Vav is 6. So it's really the same. But then again, the fact is God tampers with his name. I have this feeling sort of that the Rebbeinu Shem says, listen, with Shem ben Noach, he's not going to start up with him. You know, with Avraham Avinu, the Rebbeinu Shem feels, Kenzach gave it on Eitzu, with him we'll make a deal, it'll be okay. He won't be so upset if I change Yireh to Yeru. He'll understand, I'm the matri of Rebbeinu Shem, that's terrific. But Shem ben Noach, you know, you don't start up with these fellas, so therefore the Rebbeinu Shem leaves it Shalem. Why do we read it Yerushalayim, though the Yud doesn't appear there? So, obviously, what does an Ayin ending mean in Lashon Kodesh? An Ayin ending always means two, a plural. Yad, Yadayin, Regel, Raglayin. Ozen Oznayim. Ayin ending always means plural, a duality, two-dimensional. So that's, I want you to understand what that means with regard to Yerushalayim. It doesn't mean two Yerushalayims on earth. The Gemara says, you know what it means? It means that there's a Yerushalayim Shelmala that is Mechuvan Keneged Yerushalayim Shelmata. There's a Yerushalayim up there, and there's a Yerushalayim down here. Furthermore, of course, we just talked about the name. The name is a duality. The name is a composite of the name given to the city by two different people. Avraham Avinu and Shem Malki Tzedek, the son of Noah. There are other dualities with regard to Yerushalayim. First of all, the name Yerushalayim describes this geographic location that we are living in right now. But it also has a broader meaning. It has the broader meaning of the metropolitan Yerushalayim. In other words, even in Tanakh, there are some places where the term Yerushalayim refers to the whole area around Yerushalayim, the whole area around Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is also a term that means not only the city, but it means all of Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is also all of Eretz Yisrael. For example, we will say, you'll hear on the radio, Washington said. What do you mean Washington said? Washington said means that the American government, the American people, the capital city represents the entire people. Yerushalayim means not only this geographic location, but Yerushalayim also means all of Klal Yisrael and all of Eretz Yisrael. There's a very interesting Ibn Ezra that I want to tell you. What's interesting about the Ibn Ezra? First of all, it is an interesting Ibn Ezra. And second, I have a nice addition to the Ibn Ezra, so I even like the Ibn Ezra more. The Ibn Ezra is talking about the Mesorah. The Mesorah is, there's a system. You have to look someday. I look forward to the day when I'll have an opportunity to teach, give a shiur on the Mesorah. The Mesorah in the Mikrois Gedolos, Chumash, and Tanakh, you'll see all sorts of strange sentences at different places on the page. Those funny sentences. Let me just. The Ibn Ezra is talking about the Mesorah. That Mesorah that I showed you just a moment ago in the Mikros Gedolos Tanakh is, I would say, just about a foolproof system that was devised by Chachmei Yisrael. It may even go back to Sinai. A foolproof system of making sure that Tanakh would be transmitted from generation to generation, and we would know how to read every word, how to spell every word. It's an amazing system. Before computers and before all of this, Tanakh has been transmitted faithfully for so many years, thousands of years. And that's all thanks to the Mesorah. The Mesorah is this system that tells us how to read, how to write, how to spell, where words appear, where they don't appear. The Mesorah also tells us something very fascinating. This is something we come across in Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. There are words that are read one way and spelled another way, called kli uktiv, how you read something and how you spell it. There are times, Pashut, that you have words that you read completely differently than the way that you write it, the way it's written in the Tanakh. How do we know to do this? We only know this as a result of the Kabbalah, the tradition of the Mesorah. Says the Ibn Ezra the following: V'im ta'an to'en. If somebody is going to ask, Eich nikra ocheinenu katuv, how can we read a letter that isn't written in the Tanakh? What's this kriuksiv business? Yesh lahashiv, you know what the answer is? The answer that I give everybody? Loma anu kodim Yerushalayim biyud ve'eino v'katuv. We call Yerushalayim Yerushalayim, even though the yud is not written there. You're going to find only five times in all of Tanakh that Yerushalayim has a yud. Ubavur hachirik, because there's supposed to be a chirik between the lamed and the mem, we read it Yerushalayim. Anachnu kodim ayur. Why do we call Yerushalayim Yerushalayim? Because kain kibalnu me'avoteinu, this is what we received, transmitted from our Zaydis for all generations. The name of the city is Yerushalayim. And he says, Vahod, ki lo ayinu yodim ze mikorach halashon v'derech hasvarer lulei hakabalah. This is an item of information that we could never have achieved logically. There's no logic to it. There is no way that we could have figured this out grammatically. Lule HaKabbalah, if not for the fact that there was an unbroken chain of transmission for 3,000 years, there's no other way we would know that we call the city Yerushalayim. I added to this Ebenezer the following. That may be the pshat, ki mitzion teitzei Torah, because from Zion goes out Torah. Udvar Hashem, that the word of God is true and has been transmitted faithfully. You know how we know it? Mi Yerushalayim, from the name Yerushalayim. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah, udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. The validity, the legitimacy, the veracity, the truthfulness of the whole Masorah and the Torah that we have in our hands, that it hasn't been changed, we know from one word, Yerushalayim. But Meir Simcha, Meshech Chochma, at the end of Parshas Vayera, the Meshech Chochma has a very beautiful piece in which he wants to explain, he does explain, why did Malki Tzedek, why did Shem call the place Shalem, and why did Avraham call it Yireh? And maybe with this we will also answer the question that was asked, why did Avraham have to give a new name to the name that had already been given to the city? Says that Meir Simcha, very beautiful. He says that Shem ben Noach faced a challenge that Avraham Avinu didn't have to face. Avraham Avinu faced a different challenge. He addressed himself to a different issue. And each one gave the city a name that represented what it was that was his life's work. What was Shem's life work was the name that he gave to the city. And the same is true of Avraham. What is the challenge that was faced by Shem, the son of Noach? He lived at a time when an entire world became full of violence. A world of that became depraved, unethical, immoral, cruel, evil, to the point that the Rebbeim has no choice but to destroy the whole world and start all over again. What was it that happened at that time? The Dor HaMabul was a generation in which character and personality had become totally eroded. There was no goodness left. The Rebbeim had nothing with which to begin. He had to start all over again. And not only the relationship between men and fellow men, it was also the relationship between men and the animal world. We're talking about a world that had to be rebuilt anew. Therefore, for over a year, Noach and his three children are in the ark and they're starting all over again. The first thing that they're going to have to learn is respect and love for every one of God's creatures, beginning with all of the animals that they're sharing common quarters for over a year. Shem ben Noach's responsibility, the challenge that he faced was, he had to mold, shape, and form a new character and a new personality. He had to modify the personality of mankind. He had to turn mankind into good people. And you're going to notice something, if you don't notice it, I'll point it out to you, something that I hadn't noticed all these years in the Meshech Chochma, and only on the basis of a shiur that I gave a few weeks ago do I see it now. The Meshech Chochma says the following. He called the city Shalem Shehu Moreh. You know what the name Shalem teaches? Shekol Hamin HaAnoshi Hu Adam Echad. All mankind is really one person. We're all one. V'chol Echad Hu Eiver Mei Eivarei HaAdam HaGadol. And every human being is just another organ of that great corpus, Homo sapien man. We are all interdependent, we need one another. And he says it, b'chol echod nitzrach l'chaveru. Every human being needs others. Mushpa u'mashpia zeh mizeh, we influence and are influenced one from the other. V'kulam ke'echad, and all of us together, nosim ki'um min ha'nushi v'nitzkuto, each one of us carries the responsibility for the survival of mankind and its eternity. What was it that struck me about this? Remember a few weeks ago I told you the Ksava Kabbalah. The Ksava Kabbalah asked, why do we... No, I may not have said the shir here. It was a shir that I didn't say here. There was a Wednesday night that I didn't give a shir. You didn't have to know it. But I'm going to be saying the shir that I didn't say here that Wednesday night. I'm going to say it in Yet Hashem Shavuos night. The Ksava Kabbalah asks, why does it say Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Tihiyeno? 7 weeks of the spirit that we count should be Tamimos. Why didn't the Torah use the word? What other word could they have used? Shlemos. Shlemos. Is there a difference between Tamimos and Shlemos? Between Tamim and Shalem? Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, of course there's a difference. The difference is the following. The word Shalem represents the quantity of something and not necessarily its quality. For example, what makes challahs not shleimus? If a little piece of challah is missing, it's not a shleima. In Torah itself, it says that you're supposed to build the mizbeach avonim shleimos, complete stones. If something is chipped off, can't use the stone. Eden shleima and eifah shleima. The Torah says in Kedoshim that you have to have measures that are shalem, complete. Anything missing, it's not complete. Tamim already represents the spirituality of man. Noach ish tzadik, tamim hayom edorotav. But shalem represents the completeness of a unit. Isn't that exactly what the Meshech Chachma is saying? Do you know how you're going to begin to see the importance of fellow man if you see all of mankind as one shleimut? We are all part of one organism. You have to see mankind as shalem, and only then can you begin to learn how to relate to fellow man. That's what Shem ben Noach had to do. The world had become depraved. There was absolute violence on the face of this earth. He had to deal with building character and personality. Along comes Avraham Avinu, and he already has a different challenge. Because in a sense, certainly where Avraham was, in Midos there had been a change. The only thing is, intellectually, there was a problem of awesome proportions that faced the world. The world had forgotten God. Avraham Avinu himself is raised in a family of idolaters. Until he reaches the great intellectual decision that there is a God, and he decides that he has to bring this message to the world. What is Avram? Avram is not speaking to the heart. Avram is speaking to the intellect, to the mind. You have to know that there's a God. He therefore calls the name of the place Yireh. God should be seen. You see God. Fear God. Asher yeyomer hayom bahar Hashem yireh. Man has to see God. Man has to experience, he has to know that God exists. Avram, therefore, is speaking to the mind, to the intellect. He's making a philosophical and a theological statement, while Shem, the son of Noach, is the one who's making the statement to the neshama, to the heart, to the character, to the personality of man. So he, therefore, calls it Shalem, and he calls it Yireh. Yerushalayim, therefore, is built on these two great fundamental principles that from Yerushalayim this great message has to go out to the world. Yerushalayim represents both of them. We have a pasuk in Eicha that says Yerushalayim is klilat yofi, all beauty in it, mesos lechol haaretz, a joy for the whole earth. Wherein is there joy for the whole earth? When mankind lives in peace with one another. And there's another pasuk. David HaMelech says, until in Shom Olu Shvatim, there the tribes went up, Shiftekar, the tribes of God, Lahodot L'Shem Hashem, to thank, express their gratitude for the name of God. Here the pasuk is describing a philosophical statement that's being made by Klal Yisrael, that this is the city of God and that the Rebbeinu Shem exists. Therefore I say the following. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam made it very, very clear that while he'll go as far as he can in making Shem ben Noach happy about the name of Yerushalayim, but one thing he will not agree to. No compromise can be made on this. There was an important statement that Avraham was making by giving the second name, and there's an even more important statement being made by the Rebbeinu Shlomo that he places the name of Avraham first before the name of Shem. When do Avraham and Shem meet up? There's been a world war going on for 26 years. Five kings against four kings. The world is one big mess. And who is it that's waging war? The children of Shem are killing each other. And where does Shem find himself? Shem is most probably sitting in the city of peace, praying for peace, pontificating about peace. He is most probably writing encyclicals about peace. He is most probably wishing that there be peace. But he does absolutely nothing about it. Comes a message one night to Avram that his nephew Lot has been captured, and then begins the historic midnight ride of Avram Avinu and his 318 men until he crushes evil. You can't always just will peace. You can't always just pray for peace. And this was the tragic mistake that Shem, the son of Noach, made. And therefore, when he comes out to greet Avraham, when Avraham returns victorious from the field of battle, you know what's happening? He is shaking his head, and he's agreeing with Avraham. Avraham, I talked peace my whole life. I preached peace my whole life, but I made a terrible mistake. There are times that you know what's necessary. You have to go out and crush evil. Maybe even Shem ben Noach is thinking, shouldn't I have learned from the Rebbeinu Shlomo himself? I lived through the period of the Mabul. Do you know what I should have learned from the Mabul? You can't just will peace or will evil away. There are times at which you have to take up the implements of war and go out and crush them. That's a good word. I like the word crush. I like the word crush. All right. Along comes Avraham Avinu and he says, Shem, the only way there will ultimately be peace in this world is not because you pray for it or you will it or you fantasize about it. There has to be Yirat Shomayim. There has to be recognition that there is a God. People have to see God, experience God, know God, fear God. Because any kind of peace that is not based on Yirat Shamayim, any kind of a development of the character and personality of man that is not predicated, built on, founded on Yirat Shamayim, is meaningless. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo agrees with Avraham, and therefore he calls the name of the city Yireh Sholem, Yerushalayim. Avram's name takes precedence because the Sholem at the end of that name is only going to come as a result of Yireh in advance. No Yireh, no Sholem. No Yireh, no Sholem. So the name Yerushalayim sort of appears in Sefer Bereshis. Yes, in Lech Lecha the Sholem, and in Vayeda the Yireh, where else does it appear in Torah? The fact is that it doesn't appear in all of Torah. But it does appear. In what way does it appear? In a different way. Beginning in Parshat Re'eh, in Sefer Devarim, beginning in Parshat Re'eh, when Hashem says when you're going to bring korbanos, you know where you should bring your korbanos? And here begins this unique and unusual formula, Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Mikol Shvatecha L'Shakein Shemo Sham, the place that God is going to choose from amongst all of your tribes, that His name dwells there. In one form or another, and usually in a shortened version, the last time I counted, in Parshiot Re'ei, Shoftim Ki Teitzei, 22, 23 times. I don't know, you can count it for yourself. Invariably, Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, the place that God is going to choose, three times a year, Shalosh Pamim Bashana Yedoa Kol Zuchuchet Pnei Hashem Elokecha Bamakom Asher Yivchar. We're going to say it in davening next week, V'chag HaMatzos, V'chag HaShavuos, V'chag HaSukos. Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, the place that God is going to choose. Never mentioned by name. Never mentioned by name. Great secret. First of all, is it a great secret? Is it a great secret? Not such a great secret. The Rambam says the following. I'll read for you in the Rambam. The Rambam says, HaMizbeach Metomo Mechuvan Biyoter. The place of the Mizbeach is perfectly known. We know it has a very special place, and you never... You can't change the place of the altar ever. Shenema, because it says Zeh Mizbach La'ol Al Yisrael. This is the Mizbeach for the Ol Al Yisrael. The Makom has Mizbeach, the place of the Mizbeach. Nekad Shom Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak was brought as an Akedah on the Makom and Mizbeach, as it says that God tells Avram, Lech Lecha El Tachnas Binchas Yichidchas and Hafkes Yitzchak V'lech Lecha El Eretz Hamoriyah V'ha'alei Shom La'ola, and bring him there as an Ola upon one of the mountains that I will show you. And the Rambam brings that it says V'yachel Shlomo. In Divrei Hayom it says Shlomo began to build the house of God in Yerushalayim B'har HaMoriah Asher Nira L'David Aviv. God appeared there to his father David, and he had prepared the place of the Mizbeach. U'masodet, the Rambam goes on to say, U'masodet B'yad HaKol, and it's a tradition in the hands of everybody. Shedumachim Shedbono Bo David Shlomo HaMizbeach, the place where David and Shlomo built the Mizbeach in the Goren, the silo of Aravno HaYevusi. There was a fellow Aravno or Arnon, his name appears in different ways in different places. Hu Amakom, that's the place where Avram built the Mizbeach, and there he bound Yitzchak. Vuhu Hamakom Shebona Banoach, that's the place where Noach built a Mizbeach when he came out of the Teva. That happens to be the place where Cain and Hevel brought their korbanos. That happens to be the place where Adam HaRishon built the Mizbeach after he was created, and it was on that site. And more than that, the Rambam says, the earth from which Adam HaRishon, first man, was from Har HaMoriah, right over there. Because Adam mimekom kaparaso nivra, man was created from the place of his ultimate atonement and forgiveness. I imagine the idea is, without tshuva, without the ability of man to do tshuva, the openness of God to tshuva, man cannot survive. Because man is incapable of being perfect. We're not perfect. And tzadik ba'aretz, there's no righteous person in the earth. Asher yaseh tov, who's going to do only good, v'lo yechata. There always has to be the opportunity and the ability. Od chance, 10 chance, a chance to do tshuva and rebuild and restructure one's life. So man, in order to survive, the Rebbeinu knows he has to be created from where? From the place where he receives atonement and forgiveness. We're just not perfect. And that place was Har HaMoriah. So the fact is, for generations, what are you talking about generations? Everybody knew. Everybody knew. Certainly Gedolei Yisrael knew where the place was going to be. You know, it's like the, in the old days, the head of the Shabbat, you know. You didn't say the name, but you know, on the internet you could pick up what the name of the head of the General Security Service is. Here it is. Everybody knows what it is, but it's not stated. It's not stated explicitly in Torah. There are other places where the Rebbeinu does not state things explicitly. Two of them. One we mentioned, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha U'Mimoladecha, leave your land and go to the land Asher Ar'echa, that I will show you. Why doesn't he tell him straight? Go to Eretz Canaan. And by the Akedah, go to the land of the Moriah, and you will bring him as a sacrifice on a mountain that I'll show you. Why doesn't he tell him which mountain? Go to Har HaMoriah. Don't you know? You heard about Har HaMoriah. That's where Noach. Avram knew Noach. You understand? Avram knew Noach. He certainly knew. Malkit Tzedek, King of Salem, what are you doing? Like, yeah, what are you? I'm sure that when they sat and talked over there, Malkit Tzedek, Shem must have told them, you know, this is the place. I remember I was a little boy, I was about 120 years old, when my father made a Mizbeach over there, when we came out of the Teva, he made a Mizbeach over there. Everybody knew about it. But despite that, it's not mentioned in the place is not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. So what's fascinating is that the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim gives a number of answers of a practical and a technical nature. He says the reason why the name is not stated explicitly, so that there should not be a struggle amongst the tribes who's going to have Yerushalayim in their portion of inheritance in the land. And that really fits in with the first time that it appears, this formula appears in Torah. It says, HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha, the place that God is going to choose, Mikol Shivotecha, from amongst all of your tribes. It's a choice that has to be made amongst the tribes. It's not a simple choice. The Rambam also says, would the nations of the world know that this is going to be the capital city? He says, as is customary throughout the world, they would put up a fight for that city. Because it's always something symbolic about a capital city, that an army will fight for it, and more, God forbid, more Jewish boys would have to fall in battle for Yerushalayim. So you don't say anything about it. Third, the Rambam says, if the enemy would see that they are no longer capable of holding on to the Yerushalayim that's going to be the capital, they'll follow a scorched earth policy and they'll destroy the city utterly. And by the way, the city was destroyed utterly a number of times. The Romans destroyed the city utterly. That's what David HaMelech talked about in Al-Naharos Bavel. Eru, Eru, Adai Yisobo. Edom said, let's destroy the city. There shouldn't be a Zeichah for this city. And it was Hadrian who did it after the Bar Kokhba rebellion. They simply destroyed the city. Not only they destroyed the city, that he gave it a new name, Isla Capitolina, in order that Shem Yerushalayim should be erased from the face of the earth. No place existed, no name existed. Others said, Garnish Geholfen. In Yiddish they would say, Satan Geholfen, they are Titan Bankers, because this is the city of God, and then, yes, Yerushalayim was rebuilt. There's another approach. The other approach that we can take is the following. Why indeed doesn't the Rebbeinu Shem tell Avraham to go to Eretz Canaan? Why doesn't he tell Avraham go to Har HaMoriah? Why is it cloaked in this, what I will show you? Why here the place that I will choose? In order that men never make one mistake. And I believe the idea was expressed by Rav Soloveitchik and it's expressed by others. Kedusha in this world is the work of man, not the work of God. Man is the one who endows and graces something with sanctity and holiness. The great proof, of course, is, you know, today they throw around the most historic this in 100 years, the most historic that in 50 years. I'm really going to talk about the most historic event in all of history. What was the most historic event in all of history? And you have only one guess. Only one guess. Does... Huh? Excellent. Next week, we're going to celebrate Shavuos. There was only one time in all of history that God himself, with his hosts, came down from the very heavens to the top of Mount Sinai. There was never a more historic day in all of history. He comes down upon Mount Sinai, and from there he gives the Aseres HaDibros to not only the council, to the world. We were the ones who were the bearers of the great message to the whole world. An Aseres HaDibros that the world needs today even more than it needed it back then. This is certainly the greatest event in all of history. No doubt about it. All events take second place to this. So what does the Torah say? We're going to read it, I'm sure. The Torah says, Moshe tells them that as long as I am on the mountain, no man or beast is to come toward the mountain. Anybody who comes and touches the mountain is going to be cut down and destroyed. And what happens when the shofar, when you hear the sound of the shofar, Hema Yalu Bahar. Everybody can go back on the mountain. Anybody can walk the mountain. The sound of the shofar is the sound of Silut Shekhinah, that the Shekhinah has raised itself and removed itself from the mountain. The moment the divine presence leaves the mountain, do you know what Har Sinai is? A mountain like all other mountains. It has no sanctity and no significance. Why? Why is Har Sinai not holy and Har HaMoriah is holy? Because at Har Sinai it was God who acted and Klal Yisrael were passive. He spoke and they listened. He appeared and they witnessed. Kedusha in this world is not the work of God. It's the work of man. At Har HaMoriah, it was the man who acted. Avram and Yitzchak came to the mountain with the willingness to make the greatest sacrifice of all. That makes the mountain holy. Therefore, the Torah does not tell us in advance the name of the place, because if the name of the place would be said in advance, we could make the mistake of thinking that the city is holy because God made it holy. No! The city is holy because Klal Yisrael is going to come there, because Klal Yisrael is going to build a Beis HaMikdash there. We're the ones who make it holy. We are the bearers of the ability to grace the place with the sanctity and with the holiness, not the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Eretz Canaan is going to really become Eretz Canaan when Avraham comes there, not because of God's choice. And Har HaMoriah is going to become Har HaMoriah, not because of God's choice, but because Avraham comes there to perform the Akedah. It makes all the difference in the world, and therefore it's fascinating. There in Parshat Re'eh, you'll remember it one day, you'll come to Parshat Re'eh, so it tells us over there that on the when you cross the Yarden, you are to go to Har Grizam and Har Eva by Shechem. And there's an absolute precise description of the latitude and longitude where Har Grizim and Har Eva, across the other side of the Yarden, near Elon Moreh. There are about four or five different descriptions of the location. Yerushalayim is not even for the mystery. The reason why Yerushalayim is not mentioned explicitly and outright in Torah is so that we should not make the mistake of thinking that its sanctity flows from the fact that the Rebbeinu Shem chose it. Its sanctity comes from the fact that we chose it, and that we built here, and that we made it. David and Shlomo and all of the generations that came after us. One final item about Yerushalayim. Of course, there's a great deal, there's a lot more that can be said about Yerushalayim, but there is one Gemara that some years ago I decided that whenever I have the opportunity or whenever I make the opportunity, I'm going to learn that Gemara so that the Gemara can be passed on from one to another. Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph, down toward the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, Mipnei ma zocha also rosha Likroso Asanfor Rabo Biakira. Why was that Rosha? Which Rosha are we talking about? We're talking about Sancheret, king of Asher. Sancheret, king of Asher, was a Rosha. He was the one that destroyed the 10 tribes and sent them off into exile. He was the one that destroyed all of Eretz Yehuda until finally he surrounded Yerushalayim, and what he was waiting for was finally to pounce on Yerushalayim and destroy it. The Haftorah that they read from Yeshayahu on the last day of Pesach, their eighth day, which there are some who read that on Yom Ha'atzmaut here, is the Haftorah where Yeshayahu describes, oh, do you know faith, Har Tzion, that Sancheret comes, he's standing on a mountaintop someplace around, I don't know, must probably about around the Bay Yaakov, and he gets his first look of Yerushalayim. And he sort of looks at the city with disdain, like this is the great impregnable city that nobody can capture or destroy. He's destroyed greater cities. And then he decides that, you know, we're going to take it easy tonight. Tomorrow morning we're going to go in and crush the city. except of course that the angel of death comes down during the course of the night and wipes out the forces of Sanherib. Sanherib was a bona fide, legitimate, genuine Russia. He certainly deserves that. I don't know how many Jews he killed. So, and in Sefer Ezra, he's given a title of the great and the dear, the precious one. So Rabbi Yochanan asks, why is this Russian, and they Mazocha, also Russia, why did he deserve that he should be called such a great name in Sefer Ezra? Says Rabbi Yochanan, Mipnei Shelo Siper Begnusa Shel Eretz Yisrael, because he didn't speak ill of Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean he didn't speak ill of Eretz Yisrael? When he came to the 10 tribes and he told them that he's going to exile them, he said, I'm going to take you El Eretz Ka'artzechem. I'm going to take you to a land like your land. He didn't tell them, it is a far, far better place that I take you than you have ever been. Charles Dickens. Right? He didn't tell them, I'm taking you to a far, far better place. I'm taking you El Eretz Ka'artzechem. Then there's a fascinating machlokas in the Gemara of Rabbi Shmuel. One says he was Melech Chacham, a wise king. One says he was Melech Tipesh, a silly, stupid king. Same machlokas that they have with regard to Achashverosh. Same machlokas, was he Melech Chacham or Melech Tipesh. One says that he was smart, because if he would have told Jews, I'm taking you to a better land, you know what they would have told him? Kamushakis, you're a liar. The other one, the one who says that he was a fool, because if you're taking us to a land like our land, so why are you taking us all together? Why can't we stay here? The end of the Gemara is important. Now, Sanherib, the Rasha, was Zocha to a great title in Sefer Ezra, because he didn't speak ill of Eretz Yisrael. And unfortunately, the end, Rabbi Yochanan says, Avol Yisrael, but Klal Yisrael, Sipru Begnuta Shel Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael spoke ill of Eretz Yisrael. What was the ill that they spoke of Eretz Yisrael? Kimotu Shosh, when they came to a place called Shosh, you know what they said? My, this is just like Eretz Yisrael. Just like Eretz Yisrael. Kimotu Almin, when they came to a place called Almin, they said, Almin, this is just like Almin. And then when they came to a place called Shosh Trei, they said, this place is twice as good as Eretz Yisrael. I want the Rashi over here is what's fascinating. The Rashi says the following. Yisrael, when Sanherib sent them off into exile, they spoke ill of Eretz Yisrael. The second place that they came to, Almin, says Rashi, Ukishabo Lamakam Shishmo Almin, when they came to a place whose name is Almin, Amru, they said, Ki Almin, Zehamakam, this place, Shove Li Yerushalayim, it's just like Yerushalayim, Shinikreit, that's called Beit Olamim, Almin, the eternal home. They said, this is just like Yerushalayim. That's called speaking ill of Eretz Yisrael. When you hear about various communities in the United States that are either the Yerushalayim of Bergen County, the Yerushalayim of the East Coast, the Yerushalayim of all of America, also to do that. And I remember I once learned this Gemara with the Olam here, and I knew from the time I first learned the Gemara, I knew that somebody was going to ask me, so I said it. I said the question in advance. But Vilna was known as the Yerushalayim of Litta. So I remember when somebody first asked me that, I said, I am certain the Vilna Gaon didn't call Vilna the Yerushalayim of Litta. It had to come from a non-Jewish source. But I had no proof. A few years ago, you remember a Yid that used to live on HaKablan Tavon Pier, Chaim Flax, one day Chaim Flax walks into shul and he hands me an article from a newspaper and he says, Rabbi, read this. And I take a look at the article that he shows me. Zohar oso he'ishla teves alhaven alichtike ganehi. So he shows me an article that says, when Napoleon conquered Vilna, they took him through the Jewish ghetto. And Napoleon said, "My, this must be just like Jerusalem." It was not the Vilna Gaon or Gedolei Yisrael in Vilna that called Vilna the Yerushalayim of Lita. If I had predicted that it came from a non-Jewish source, I was absolutely right. It was Napoleon who said that. You're not allowed to say about any place on the face of this earth that it's like Yerushalayim. And I'll tell you another thing occurred to me today. I saw it. I think that they're having, in one of the newspapers, they're having some kind of a gathering in the city Magenza, which is Mainz in Germany, to mark 900 years since the destruction. The city was destroyed, the Jewish population was destroyed during the Crusades. I saw that in the paper this morning, and all of a sudden I was reminded there is a Masorah by Klal Yisrael. There are a number of Svarim that bring it, that when Ezra came back from Babel, he came back to Yerushalayim, he sent letters out to all of the Jewish communities in the world, inviting them to join him in the great adventure of rebuilding Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. It seems most of the people never responded, although somebody threw it into the wastebasket. He got a response from Magenza. And the response was, it seems that already by the time of the beginning of Bayit Sheni, after Churban Bayit Rishon, there was already a Jewish community in Magenza. And not only they were a Jewish community, they had become extremely important. They had moved into high finance and government. And they sent a letter back to Ezra in which they said, "Atem Shvu, you can remain be Yerushalayim HaGedola, the big Yerushalayim. V'anachnu Neshev, we're going to remain here be Yerushalayim HaKetano, the small Yerushalayim." And there's a Masorah by Klal Yisrael that because of that statement, a few thousand years later, by the Crusades, the city of Magenza was utterly destroyed. Can't say something like that. You can't call any Jewish community Yerushalayim. There's only one Yerushalayim. Only one Yerushalayim. Goyim can do whatever they want. They want to call cities and highways and byways Jerusalem. But we can't. And this is a Gemara that people have to know. If you hear somebody make a statement of that sort, so number one, no violence. Don't shoot him in the leg, and don't sock him in the jaw. Though you may be justified in feeling that or thinking that, we are opposed, Dai la'alimut, we are opposed to violence of any sort. But you have a chiyuv to bring to a person's attention the Gemara and the Rashi, Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph in Sanhedrin. There is no other place on the face of this earth that is like Yerushalayim. Only one. We are now in the midst of an awesome and frightening struggle for Yerushalayim. And the truth is, the tragedy of this struggle is we're not fighting with the nations of the world. We're fighting with our fellow Jews over our rights to all of Yerushalayim. Unheard of. Unheard of in all of Jewish history. I know of no other instance of this sort except that at one point in the days of Chizkiyo, it says there was a group, we were talking about Sancheriv, there was a group in the city that wanted to surrender the city. Wanted to surrender the city. There's a whole Gemara in Sanhedrin, maybe some other time we'll learn that. Over here we're talking not about a city that's surrounded by a mighty, mighty enemy. There are people here who want to divide the city. We are mispallel to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Rabbeinu Shalom, don't let it ever happen. There were 19 years, from 1948 until 1967, I always say that there was an ugly equation in the world. Two cities were divided down the middle with a wall. Berlin and Yerushalayim. Remember what we learned last week about Berlin and Yerushalayim. The Meshech Chochma we learned last week, those who think that Berlin is Yerushalayim. 1967, that ugly equation ended. Now, God forbid, the walls separating the two parts of Berlin have come falling down, and God forbid we may have that here in Yerushalayim. Rabbeinu Shalom, it's your city. You have to make sure that this city will not be divided.